Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
Very emotional day for Marianne and I for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, is our daughter. Becky is going to be giving the message this morning. And my sister is over here at the piano. And one of my granddaughters is on the worship team, Abigail. And my other granddaughter down here in the front, Faith, was a super greeter this morning at our church. And our grandson is the audio and video technician for us this morning. So we are really, really proud of our family that are here today, building memories for sure. Now with Becky, Becky is a graduate of Multnomah School of the Bible. Also, she's a graduate of Northwest University up in Kirkland. And for 10 years, she was children's director at Christ Church in Federal Way. She also has written some children's curriculum. And it was at Federal Way where she was the director for the children's ministry that one of her teachers was a guy that happened to be by the name of James. Is that correct?
He was a really cute Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, he was.
And so, and he worked in my department.
There you
go. And he caught my eye pretty quick. Well, actually, well, that's another story, but yeah. So he's here today, too. It's my husband, James.
Okay, they've been married for 11 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
11 years. James is just a wonderful guy and suited perfectly for our daughter, Becky, and we're so proud of him.
And he was great at the Starbucks run today.
Oh, you made it back in time. There you go. Amen. Yeah, maybe we need to set up a Starbucks here at the church. She's done some writings. She was affiliated with her son's ministry for a while, Beauty for Ashes. Becky has spoken in several churches across the country. She is a prolific writer, has had some articles published in some magazines, and we are so blessed to have you here today to share your story, Rebecca. And when you were born, I went back in my memory book to the day when you were born, and I held you in my arms for the very first time. And here we are, years later, involved in ministry, doing the Lord's work. And we are so proud of you, Rebecca. And we wanted to give you a biblical name, so we named you Rebecca. And among other things, Rebecca means one who is totally beautiful.
It does not.
Yes, it does. I did a Google search. Yes, it does. Beautiful inside and out. And that is who you are, a beautiful woman. And so would you take a moment to share with us your guests that are here today? Chloe, it's good to see you. Welcome. And introduce them, will you please?
Sure, sure. So my cousin Chloe, who is, well, my cousin, and she is stationed in the Army in Fort Lewis, and she's staying with us for a few months, so we've loved having her here. And then, of course, my husband, James, and my sisters-in-laws, Kim and Micheline, over there. And, yeah.
Yeah, let's welcome them to church today. Yeah, Chloe went with us 4 years ago to Hawaii. She graduated from high school, and now she's in the Army, doing fantastic in the Army. And your rank is?
E5 Sergeant.
That's wonderful. She is a super achiever. So glad you're here today. Great to see you. And we will get on with our praise and worship.
All right.
And we look forward to having Becky share with us for the message this morning.
Am I on? Can you hear me okay? Yes? Oh, good. I have two goals this morning. The first is to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart this week. and the second is not to fall over in my heels. I don't normally wear them, so it's a little bit of a challenge. So we'll see how both of those goals go today. I'm going to talk today about what is in a name, and contrary to what my father said about Rebecca means, Rebecca also means noose, so take with that what you will. But today I want to talk about what is God's name. And I asked my daughter the other day, what is God's name? And she looked at me like, didn't you just answer the question, like God's name is God? And I said, well, no, God has a name, and he has a very personal name. And the thing that struck me as I was thinking about this week is that God reveals his name for the first time, his personal name that he self chooses for himself in the book of Exodus. So today I'm going to talk out of Exodus chapter 3. And it matters what God calls himself because it shows us who he is and what he wants us to do with him. It's all about who he is to us. And his name is personal and it is active and it's a verb, which is unusual. Most names aren't. They're nouns, but his is a verb, which has something special too in it that I'm going to talk about today. But in the book of Exodus, we find him talking to an 80-year-old man who stutters on top of a mountain. And you can find this 80-year-old man in Exodus chapter 3. If you have your Bibles and you want to pull them out, you can take a look at Exodus chapter 3 with me. And I haven't spoken in about a year and a half, so there's that. And when I did a lot of preaching, I preached for about 20 years, and the average age of my audience was 7. So I'm going to tell the story as the Lord has given it to me this week, and as you'll find in your scripture in Exodus chapter 3. And also, I want to let you know that I'm going to be reading from my Bible, and my Bible today is sitting on top of my grandfather's Bible, which means an awful lot to me. Because as I sit here, I can see the pages marked up, handed down through the years. And the passage that I chose, he has marked. That's pretty special. So when I read from that scripture, I'll be reading from his Bible today. So God reveals his name to an 80-year-old man on top of a mountain who stutters, and he's there with his sheep. And to take a look about how he got to that point in his life, being on that mountain at 80 years old with some sheep, let's look back a little bit to where he came from and how he got to the top of that mountain. So he was born in desperation and pain to a powerless mother who was a slave. He was sent down the river in something as fragile as papyrus coated with pitch, which is at times what God's purposes seem to ride on. Now I want you to picture this. This slave woman, all of her family, her whole country, the country, the nation of Israel, were slaves in Egypt. And the order is the babies need to be killed because Pharaoh's got a problem with the Hebrews. So he orders all male babies to be killed. So rather than do that, this woman is so beautiful to me because you see the desperation and the powerlessness, and the absolute only thing she can do is put her hope and prayer in a basket as fragile as papyrus covered with pitch. And isn't that what we do with our prayer sometimes? And she puts him in the river. That just sits with me. And it reminds me that God's promises sometimes ride in something as fragile as that. And he makes his way down the river where he's picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh who raises him, calls him Moses. And so for the next few years of his life, Moses grows up eating Pharaoh's groceries. And while he's living the life of a son of Pharaoh, he knows that his fellow countrymen are there enslaved. And so one day he looks out and he sees that an Egyptian is beating a slave, and so he kills the man and he hides it. And then it becomes known, finds out that, Somebody saw him, so he runs away. And he runs away to the desert, and out in the desert, and this is, he's about 40 years old at this time, out in the desert, he meets his wife. And there he meets his wife, and her name is Zipporah, and they get married. And so for the next 40 years, we don't know very much. He works for his father-in-law. He doesn't really, I don't know what he knows about God, doesn't talk about his relationship to God. Israel hasn't heard from God in a long time at this point. And so he's out at the age of 80 on a mountain with some sheep, and he sees a bush that doesn't burn up. So he goes to see this thing that does not burn up, because bushes normally do. And so he travels and he goes to see this bush that doesn't burn up. And the scripture says that he hears the voice of God who says, "You are standing in the presence of God, and this is holy ground." I think I would have passed out. I can't even imagine that moment. I've often tried to in my mind what I would have done, but Moses took off his shoes and he knelt, and so he hears the voice of God, and God says to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want you to go to Pharaoh and go get the Israelites and get them out of Egypt." Period. That's all. That's a pretty big task. And so Moses stops and he's like, "What? Could you say that again?" And he says, "You are to go get the Israelites, bring them out of Egypt." And so his first question to God is, "So when I get there, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? I could tell him you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but who is that?" And he says, in verse 11, he says, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring them out?" Verse 12, God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out, you will worship God right here on this mountain." So Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, "The God of your fathers has sent me to you," and they ask me, "What is his name?" Then what shall I tell them? And for the very first time in Scripture, we hear this in verse 14. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. I am. My name is I am. Tell them I am sent me to you." Then he says, this is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation to generation. This is the name that he gives to his covenant people, which is you and I, sitting right here in this service this morning. God's name that he gives to you and for you and about you and because of you is I am. So what does that mean? It's active. It's a verb. It is personal. It means he is present. He is present at all times where you are. He will be with you wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, wherever you are, anytime, day or night, whether you feel him or don't, whether you want him or not, whether you think about him or don't, he is working constantly on your behalf all hours of the day. Everything that he has is present for you and about you because he is in relationship with you. And when you enter the story of what's happening in your life right now, today, and in the stories that have happened in your lives in the past, I want you to think about who he has been to you, what he has done, and what he has provided. Because those memories shape the fuel for how we walk into an unknown future. That is the fuel of our faith. Where he's been to us in the past is who he's going to be with us in the future. And sometimes, frankly, I haven't seen him in the past. It doesn't matter what I see. Because the reality sometimes isn't what I see, nor is it what I feel. And sometimes my reality says, I do not even know how to get out of bed today. But the reality is that the I am of the universe is right next to me in that bed. And if I will turn for a minute, I might be able, with his help, if I purposely look and depend on him, to actually be able to get out of bed today. And that matters. It matters a lot. It's the fuel for how we get up and move, and how we get up and we move through trial, through temptation, through disease, through sickness, through every single thing that happens to us. If we can remember, and this is what I want you to do today, I want you to imagine God taking God out the door with you today. I mean, really, because it's not an imagination. It's reality. It is reality. And when you sit in that crisis and you know somebody's there with you, that is a powerful reality. And I'm going to talk about a story that I can share about how that was very personal, that will hopefully make that how I practice that anyway. But I want to finish up with Moses for a bit. So Moses finds out about Yahweh. For the first time, he hears the name Yahweh. And so what does he say? He says, okay, let's go. No, that's not what he does. He says, I can't talk. They're not going to believe me. I know you just lit that bush on fire, but could you give me 3 more signs? So God says, all right, your brother Aaron can go with you, and he'll speak for you. What's funny that cracks me up about that whole thing is when you find out the truth, Moses does actually most of the talking. So apparently he does just fine. But he sends Aaron with him, and he sends 3 signs. And the funny thing to me is God has a sense of humor, because the first sign, when Moses begs for a sign to take into Egypt with him, he says, throw down your cane, your rod, and it turns into a snake, which promptly chases Moses around, and Moses has to run around a bit. And then he picks it up. I think God has a serious sense of humor. And so with that sign and 2 more signs, Moses finds Yahweh. Yahweh means I am. And Moses and Yahweh march into Egypt. And all of Egypt and all of Israel find out very soon who Yahweh is. And if you read the books of Exodus, you find out that he is a powerful God. And he is working for you all the time. So I want to talk about this Yahweh. In my story, in your story, we see Yahweh in many different ways. Where is he present? When we look at our stories in our life, we see his presence and his redemption, and it reminds us of what he has done and what he will do. In our stories of tragedy, loss, and heartache, God is the I am. And we can choose purposefully to sit with I am if we want to. When I tell my story, especially the sorrows and tragedies, I see the rise of redemption and the glory of Yahweh. And I want to talk about Yahweh, what Yahweh means, who Yahweh is. The Bible, the other name that Yahweh is sometimes referred to in the Bible is Jehovah. So you'll see Jehovah a lot. And you'll see Jehovah coupled with another verb. So there's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You'll see Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. You'll see Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. All of these things, the God who heals, the God of peace, all of those are encompassed that I am, that activeness. And so when I was 20 years old, I was going to college, and I was pretty excited because it was my first week of college. And it was down at Bible College down in Portland. And I was excited for the term to start. I just moved into my dorm, and I woke up with this crashing headache, and 2 days later I was in the hospital, and I was paralyzed from about my shoulders on down. And for a month, they didn't know what it was, and they didn't know if I would get better. And so for a month, I was in that hospital, and then it began to affect my eyes. So everything I saw was blurry, and it began to affect my speech. So everything I said was slurred. So now I can't see you. I can't really speak to you. I can't stand up. I can't hold your hand. If you put your hand in my hand, I can't feel it. I don't even know you're doing it. If you touch my leg, I don't know that your hand is on my leg. There is, and some of you have been in those situations where you are completely powerless. You have nothing, and you don't even know if you're going to live, because it began to affect my breathing. So all I could do was say, God, what is this? I am so mad at you right now. I am 20 years old. I don't deserve to be in a hospital room like anybody does. I don't deserve to be in a hospital room paralyzed. I have these big plans that you're supposed to produce for me. Here's my timeline. I go to college, become a pastor, work full-time in a church, make a lot of money doing other things. I don't know what they all might be, but I rake in tons of money, and I have my house, and then I get married, and 4 years down the road, I have 2.5 children and two German shepherds and a white picket fence and a wraparound porch. That was the plan. Don't we all have plans like that? It's kind of, yeah, and it just... Whether it's a result of what we do or the evil in the world or what God may bring us to, it would, yeah. No. The funny thing is, my plans typically aren't God's. But God does sit in those plans with me to help me figure out what the next step may be, even if it means I can't move at this moment. So I was sitting there telling God I was mad at him, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, I am. I am. I will be to you all that I am. And I said, but God, I can't walk. Well, he can. I can't feel anything, but he can. I can't communicate anything, but he can. And how does he make that practical to a woman in a wheelchair? Well, I'll tell you, the very first thing he made it practical-wise was I had to learn how to sit without falling over, which might seem like a simple thing if you're just sitting in a chair like you are all sitting now. Congratulations. I couldn't do that. What happened is I would sit in a chair and immediately go this way and fall completely over on my side. And you remember this, don't you? Because you came and saw me in the hospital. And then I would go the other way, this way. And so unless somebody had their hands right here holding me up, I was going this way or this way, which was really frustrating when you're just trying to sit. And so the doctors would come in, they'd sit me up, and I'd immediately fall over. So then they began to, you know, tap me on each side, see how long I could balance before I fell over again. And then I thought, wait, God is I am. He can hold me up. He really can. So I literally imagined a whole host of angels sitting on this arm and a whole host of angels sitting on this arm holding both of me up so I could sit like that. And I purposely thought that way the entire time. I went like this and went like this and went like this until a couple days later I could go like this. And I was sitting. And I knew it was because I had legions of angels holding me up on either side, because that is who God is. That is what God says he will do. That is what he does time and time and time and time and time again. And even when I fall over and I don't see the angels, they're still there praying for me, thinking about me, rooting for me, and loving me. And the God of the universe and Jesus Christ this very day sits at the right hand of the Father, and he prays for you and for me, specifically, because that's who he is. He's I am. I will be all that I am to you. And so every single day, even on those days when I had to literally imagine God breathing into my lungs, purposely thinking, please breathe, please breathe, please breathe, please breathe.
And I remember learning to crawl. And they had these big, big mirrors on either side of this room that they would put me in. And they put me on all fours, which was hilarious because I get on all fours and immediately fall over on one side and fall over on the other side. And what I saw in those mirrors was the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. What does the Lord call himself there? He calls himself, now I don't know if I can pronounce it. Now I can't find it. What is that? Where'd it go? I'll find it, and then I'll read it to you. But anyway, the name means the Lord of hosts, the armies of God. He has the armies of God behind you. And so I would imagine literally being on all fours and those armies on either side holding me up until one day I was able to finally be able to crawl. And I remember one time laying in bed, not still being able to feel my body, which my family would find quite entertaining. And so I was in the hospital room and I would have my feet peeking out underneath the blanket at the very end of the bed. And my aunt would come in and she'd say, "Look at your toes, Becky. Just go like this. Just go like that." And I'd look at it and nothing. Concentrate on that toe. It's not moving. I try to get it to go like this. Just focus. No, it just sat there. So as I'm sitting, laying on that bed, looking at my toes, going, focus, 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 go like this, go like this. Nothing's happening. I don't feel my legs. So my family's using my table, my body as a table to eat pizza. They're lovely. So I have family on either side of me. I have pizza boxes down my legs. And they're laughing and eating pizza. And I'm going, focus, focus, focus. Trying to move my foot. No, not that day, but every day a little bit more, because every day I am sat with me and helped me move the toe, move the toe, move the toe, move the toe, move the arm. What can you feel today? Can you go? And in the next few months that followed, I began to get feeling back and was able to walk again. And I went back to school about 5 months later, able to walk, but I walked with a cane. And I remember the first day I realized I didn't need my cane. Because when you're 20 years old, the phone is very important to you, right? And this is before cell phones. So I was in my dorm room, the phone went off down the hall, and it was ringing for me because I didn't have a phone in my room. And that college call is important, right? So I wanted to get that, but I'm on a cane. I can't walk more than like this. Well, the phone's going off. I forgot I couldn't walk. I started running down the hall. I hadn't run in 5 months. Immediately realized I was running and fell down. And got back up again and then went and answered that phone. But that is who God is. Wherever you are this morning, whether you're dealing with sickness, whether you're dealing with depression, whether you're dealing with job loss, I'll be honest, for the last couple years, I have not known which direction to go. It's the first time in my life that I have not been employed for 2 years. Every job I've had within 6 weeks of being without a job, I've found one. I haven't spoken in 2 years. The relationships in my life that I last did business with, my son, are estranged right now, and they're hard. And you know what it's like when your kids are hurting and they hurt you, or you're hurting, and the cycle goes over and over and over. So if you're here today with whatever it is, whether it's marriage, health, depression, job, finances, God knows, God sees, God hears, he is quick to answer, and he weeps with you, and he cries with you, and he celebrates with you as well. C.S. Lewis once said, "Why are the holy places dark places? Why are the holy places dark places? Because it's where in those dark places we find Yahweh. We find Yahweh in the dark, sometimes on a mountain, and there might be a bush burning, and it's the only thing you see. It's the only hope you have. And that bush represents God, who becomes I Am. Psalm 23 is one of my favorite psalms. I want to tell you some of the names of the Lord. Yahweh Rapha, I am the Lord who heals. He heals us physically, mentally, spiritually. And you know what? I want to tell you something else. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we won't see it in heaven. And when I was in that hospital room, I had to come to the realization that I might not walk again for the rest of my life. And I had to tell God, okay. Okay, I will sit in this wheelchair for the rest of my life. But I will ask you every day for the rest of my life to heal me. And if you don't, I'm going to bug you. Not irreverently. It's a reverent bugging. And Jesus says we can do that when he talks about, you know, the judge, the widow coming to the judge and pleading. So we can reverently beg God for things. So I said, I will reverently beg you every day to walk. And in that moment, I knew I would have healing, whether it's on this earth or in heaven. I would walk again. So he is Yahweh. I am healing. Yahweh Rapha. I am healing. He is Yahweh Shalom. I am peace. He is Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yahweh is your righteousness. That's my favorite. Because there's nothing I can do that takes that righteousness away from me. Nothing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have this view of God that my first thought of God is this guy in the sky with this long beard and this flowing robe, and he's just sitting there, and he's a little angry. He's got this angry scowl on his face. And he's just sitting there with this handful of lightning bolts, and he's just waiting for me to mess up so he can pull out that bolt and throw it at me because I'm not good enough. That's how I think of God. That is wrong, but isn't that how we think of God sometimes? Like, this is what I do. Oh, just cussed at the stoplight. Bam! It's coming. I know it's coming. Just told my husband a white lie. Bam! We sit in life going, I didn't have devotions 5 days in a row. God is done with me. Don't we do that sometimes? I think that all the time. I didn't pray morning and night. God is done with me. I was really angry at my daughter and I threw her Awana book against the wall. What is wrong with me? Boom, lightning bolt. And we go through life that like that. And then we get afraid to go to God because we know he's got those lightning bolts, which he doesn't. Because who he is, who is he? He is, I am your righteousness. I already died for all that. You're in me. So it's not lightning bolts. It's, I am ready to be active and present with you in it right now. That to me is cool. So sometimes when I get in the thinking of, uh-oh, lightning bolt, then I have to remind myself, no, I am shalom, peace. I am Tzidkenu. I am righteousness. He is righteousness. He is Jehovah Jireh, provider. He is Jehovah Yahweh, let's see if I can say this, Mekadishkim. He anoints my head with oil. I am a royal priesthood. I am a royal daughter. You are a royal son and daughter. You are a royal heir who's been anointed with oil and invited in to have a seat at the table. Even when your world's falling apart. When I was 20, let's see, well, a number of years ago, I was going through a divorce. It was ugly. It was really, really bad. And it had been a violent marriage. And I had a 2-year-old daughter. And I remember I was packing up things. And I was so hurting. It was just so much pain. and the loss of everything I had thought. I mean, talk about the loss of the dream of the two kids and the German shepherds and the wraparound porch and the money in the bank account, and no, it's everything gone. And I was so fragile, I didn't even know how to do the next thing, couldn't make the next decision because I was so, so broken in that. And I went to my closet in the hall to get something, I don't remember what. And I remember opening the door, and there was my wedding veil. And I lost it. I just lost it. Because you know what that means. It represents everything. And I sat on the floor and I cried. And then I got my daughter and I drove to my ex-husband's house because there was time for a visit. And it was a horrible drop-off. It was a horrible communication between the two of us. And I drove off without my daughter and sat in the parking lot at Fred Meyer, bawling, just sobbing, crying out to God. And I said, "Where are you? This was not the plan." Again, we keep having it. It's not the plan. No, here's the plan. This is what's happening in the here and now. And so in that here and now moment, he said, "I am right here in this driver, in the passenger seat, next to you, driving the car with you, helping you know to remember to turn on the turning signal, helping you know to remember to pay the power bill, helping you know to remember that you can get up and keep going the next day and the next day and the next day. I will be all that I am to you right now. Job or not, health or not, marriage or not, kids or not, he is, I am here and now with you." I want to close with Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh Rohi." Yahweh Rohi, he is your shepherd. "I shall not want," Yahweh Yaira, provider. "I am provider. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Peace. Yahweh Shalom. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yahweh Tzidkenu. I am righteous. I am righteous because he is. "Thou anointest my head with oil." Yahweh Mekadeshkim. Yahweh Mekadeshkim. I am a royal priesthood, a royal daughter, set apart and sanctified. And Yahweh touches my head and yours with that oil and says, "You are mine, and no one can snatch you out of my hand, and nothing can either." Amen. Thank you, guys. So loved sharing with you today. Actually, I'm going to close this in prayer, Dad. Is that okay? Pray with me. Father, we love you, and we don't know how to sometimes. And we forget that you're there because life gets busy. I ask that as each person leave the room today, that they would consciously imagine you walking out the door with them, because it's not in their imagination. It is the reality of who you are and what you want to be to us. That you are active for us, that you are present, that you are tender, you are gracious, you are kind, and you are strong. Thank you, Yahweh. Amen.
Very good. Thank you, Becky.